All right, you're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. I am Brandon Weatherby, and I am with Mike Gamboni.
Hello.
Hello. I've known Mike Gamboni for, how long is it now? A little
probably
over 10 years?
Yeah, just
years.
About 10 years.
And we're in a very, very small room that looks like cake frostings on the wall in Westtown, which is a neighborhood of Chicago. I was reading about Westtown today in the Encyclopedia of Chicago, and this town is one of the few towns that are from the original like city limits, I think it was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Isn't it? It's interesting. It was a railroad town.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that along Grand Avenue,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, the town goes from what, like, is the limit Grand?
I think it's Grand to Augusta.
Grand to Augusta, so it's a really small strip. It's 5 blocks long, but then if you look on a map going west, it's really long.
Right.
So we're in this weird neighborhood in Chicago that's not really any group anymore.
Doesn't seem like it. Seems like there's a lot more younger people.
The bohemian lifestyle.
Bohemia.
Some would say. So we're doing a podcast and I'm drinking French pressed coffee. We are in the bohemia of Chicago right now.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's still a large Hispanic population.
Yeah, and, it's still on the census. It said it was really roughly a Mexican neighborhood because most of the Puerto Ricans went to Humboldt Park. They moved a little bit north.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the Puerto Ricans, I mean actually Puerto Rican people, not just an amalgamation of all Hispanic. I'd like to make that clear. I just moved from Humboldt Park, and you just moved from Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Square, if you're not from Chicago, is think of Wrigley Field and think of like 5 blocks north and 5 blocks west, roughly.
Pretty much.
It's really wonderful, really white.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, it's almost a suburb in the city.
It is.
If you think about families playing Little League baseball.
There is a Little League field, yes.
If you think about just little neighborhood shops.
Not head shops, but like actual neighborhood shops.
Right.
Like family-run Ace Hardwares.
Right.
You lived across the street from the family-run Ace Hardware.
I did.
And a tub store. Mm-hmm. But we both came to the conclusion, because I used to live kind of in that neighborhood, it's bad if we're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Not together, but individually we're 25. And it's not fun to live there at 25, I'd say. Unless you have a kid.
It definitely seems like a much older crowd.
Yes.
I guess everything's a lot more expensive there, that's for sure.
Than it is in Westtown?
Well, the thing in Westtown, yeah, I would say it's
really
a lot cheaper here.
Where do you go in Westtown? We live. I'm at Noble and Chicago, which is 1400 West and then 800 North. And across the street from my apartment is the Five Star, which is a bar. And a new sushi/Thai restaurant opened yesterday, I think. And then there's a funeral home and a club and a coffee shop.
But there's also a vegan restaurant.
And a vegan restaurant with is that the Green Cross thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Kelsey wants to go because it's expensive.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's expensive. I don't know, actually. Anyways, where do you go in the neighborhood?
Since I just moved in, I'm still exploring a little bit, but I've just checked out recently. There's an Italian restaurant on Grand Avenue and Noble, pretty much.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but
is it with, like, there's a strip of them, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of Italian restaurants right there.
Right. That part's a really old Italian neighborhood.
Yeah.
Little Italy.
Little Italy. But it's very small. When they say Little Italy, it's very little.
It's like 2 blocks.
It's 2 blocks long and, like, I think, what's Italian Village in the Loop, if you go there, like, that's as many Italian people in one building.
I was just surprised because there were still Italian families and people were speaking Italian at
really?
The tables. Although the waitress spoke Italian, she didn't really understand. When my girlfriend asked for an Irish coffee
okay.
at an Italian restaurant, she didn't know what that was.
Did you just say, bring me booze?
My girlfriend explained it to be coffee with a shot of whiskey, so she brought a cup of coffee with a shot of whiskey on
bad.
The side.
It's like the cream of yeah. it. How long has your girlfriend been drinking Irish coffee? Did you turn around to that?
No, she, I don't know, she studied abroad in Scotland for 6 months.
Okay.
And I think they had some influence on that.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Right before we started recording this, my really wonderful, expensive Christmas gift broke. It was a really nice microphone. And I was talking to Mike about how almost everything I get for Christmas and holidays and blah, 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 breaks within like a year, regardless of use. It just, they crap out. And you said your best gift ever was
a pillow.
A pillow. And you were how old?
I was probably about 14.
You were 14 years old and you wanted a pillow.
Yeah.
Why did you want a pillow so bad?
I spent a lot of time sleeping, I would have to say. And
due
I
to depression or due to young lust just, or what? I mean.
No, I don't know. I would enjoy sleeping, I guess.
So at 14, when you're sleeping like 10 hours a night, you're like, I need a fucking pillow.
Yeah.
But what was so, did you have awful pillows before?
No, I just knew I really wanted to be comfortable.
And you still have this pillow?
I do.
Oprah says you shouldn't have pillows that long.
Well.
You're going to go against Oprah now?
I guess.
All right. But you still have the same pillow. Does it raggedy?
No, it's good.
Do you, like, how do you wash a pillow? Do you know how to wash a pillow? Can you wash a pillow?
You can.
How?
Yeah. Like, my mom just put them in the.
Did she dry them too?
She put them in the dryer, yeah.
All right. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you can watch sneakers until I saw a Keds commercial, so I'm learning. And today, Mike Gamboni was working.
I was.
You were canvassing.
Yes.
What is canvassing?
Canvassing is basically you're walking door to door trying to collect votes in a neighborhood precinct.
Okay.
That's how they're separated. And you go up door to door asking each person if they'll support the candidate that you're... So that you're walking for.
Do you have a list of people who not to hit?
On the list that we have,
yeah.
You can see how people voted, what ballot they pulled in the primary election.
Okay.
So if you saw, say you were working for one party and you saw that they had pulled the opposite party's primary for the past three elections, so you probably wouldn't target that one
if you
were from the opposite party.
But do you target, I mean, I'm talking about you here.
Yeah.
You'll just
I'll look for that.
You'll go to the household.
Sometimes I don't know. It depends. There's a lot of factors.
Okay.
You know, if you could look at a house and you see maybe on the car there's a firefighter sticker on the car. You're like, "Oh, this guy's a firefighter." You see a union sticker.
Okay.
And you find something to talk about with that person when you go to the door. And it's all about relating and finding something that you guys can have some kind of common ground where you could be like, all right, you know, I'll vote for this guy.
Yeah.
Because often, at least on local scale politics, a lot of people don't even know who is their
state
representative.
They're just picking a party and pulling.
Right.
Yeah.
They just see D or R next to a name and vote accordingly.
Well, do you think this actually makes an impact?
I think it does. I think this is how you get votes. When you actually talk to somebody,
okay,
and they can actually put a face to a name, I think the precinct captains.
Okay, and what's a what's a precinct captain? Before we go any further,
okay, well, they're not as much around as they used to be.
Okay,
but a precinct captain was involved in a local political organization.
Okay,
and where he was, where he lived, where his house is, where he knew the neighborhood, he knew his neighbors, he knew. So he would go up and talk to each person door to door and try and get votes.
Okay.
And it would especially come into play on election day when you can. He had a list to see the registered voters, and he would go up to each house and say, have you voted today? Do you need a ride?
I
can get you there.
So when you hear all those old stories of, like, they didn't do anything for me, but they got me the turkey on Thanksgiving and stuff, like, that's the precinct captain winning the vote for the next year.
Right.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're the guy under the precinct captain, essentially?
Like I said, there's not really precinct captain. That's kind of a fable,
okay,
I guess you would say, in modern times, because neighborhoods aren't really what they used to be.
Well, what do you mean?
Because they change so much.
Well, obviously.
There's not the same families living in the same place, especially, you say, in a neighborhood like this where it's
in
mostly...
In Westtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's a neighborhood where it's mostly... You know, transient population, you know, apartment dwellers that you might not be here in the next year.
But the neighborhood you're working in isn't like that, right? Isn't it more residential, more houses?
It is.
Okay.
And it's one of the few areas still like that.
Well, what are there? You're on the northwest side.
Right.
You're on the far northwest side. And I'm guessing, like, around Rogers Park, just west of there, it's probably
It's farther. It's closer to O'Hare Airport.
Yeah. But I mean, like, in terms of neighborhoods that are still, like, residential, like, if you look in Rogers Park, it seems like a lot of the stuff that's west of, say, Clark is all houses, right? Right.
Saguenay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of neighborhoods up there. And then Edgebrook.
Like Bridgeport.
Yeah. Bridgeport, still neighborhood.
What's the one that's like Irish? It's like 105th and Western. What's that? Bridge, Broad.
Beverly.
Beverly, thank you. Like, that's, those, wouldn't precinct captains still work there?
Yeah. Well, you could say that in Bridgeport, which is Mayor Daley's home ward.
Which is where the White Sox play, if you don't know.
A very strong political organization there exists, which you could say, you know, controls pretty much the entire state of Illinois.
That's awesome.
May even produced the political candidate Barack Obama.
And I'm not complaining. Okay, so today you went door to door, and how many people did you talk to, do you think?
Well, today there weren't a lot of people home for whatever reason, but...
What time do you start? Today's a Saturday.
I started about 11.
11 a.m. until what?
About 3.
So for 4 hours in the middle of the day, you're going door to door, and does anyone ever slam the door in your face? How often do they open for you?
Some people slam the door in your face. I think that has to do a lot with the political climate of today. A lot of people.
Do they slam the door in your face after they find out who you're with, or just because you're?
Both. Okay. Some people don't like the candidate that I'm walking for.
Okay.
Some people are just entirely disgusted with politics today.
Yeah. Do they even know the candidate, or do they just know the party? When you're not, like, when you say, "Hey, I'm with this guy," do they just know the party?
No, not everybody even knows the party. A lot of people.
They know it's that they actually know who this person is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least this guy that I was walking for is pretty popular in his area. He's been there for about 16 years.
Okay.
So he's, you know, he's had a lot of influence. He's been, met a lot of people, shook a lot of hands. So he knows a lot of people.
He's already laid the groundwork.
Right. But in the area that I was walking in today, you know, in the suburbs where things have been expanding and there's new houses, new families moving in, and that... You know, there's been a large Hispanic population moving in.
Is that good or bad for you guys?
Well, for the party I'm with, it's bad politically because to get their vote, it seems Hispanic voters, you know, tend to vote towards one political party over another.
Okay.
So it's difficult, especially... For a guy that's been around for 16 years and for the community to change so much, so many new registered voters, so many new families that he hasn't met.
Yeah.
It's almost like a completely different district.
Okay.
Than he would be running, you know, 4 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. What do you think he's going to win?
Right now it's a toss-up.
Is it really?
What I was talking to with some of the political, you know, guys down there is... You know, this is a very big race, and it's about 50-50. The guy said if the election was today, our guy would win.
Really?
In 2 weeks, we don't know.
Wow.
Because there has been, within the last few days, there's been about $80,000 put into the other candidate's campaign.
And what's that going to, like, are they going to put that in signage, TV ads, radio ads, anything, what?
I don't think TV ads would be too expensive, but definitely negative mailers.
Okay.
Definitely.
Do you think the mailers are effective?
In this district, I think they've been completely oversaturated with mailing.
So no.
Probably at least twice a week they get hit with some kind of political mailer. I think that's why you see people slamming doors in your face.
And we're talking about the district you work in right now, right?
The district I was...
Working in today.
Oh.
Like where you were canvassing. That's
oh, well, that's different where I work.
Okay.
But it's a southwest suburb where I was today.
Oh,
but if you
want
to talk about the city, we can talk about that.
No. So you were in the suburbs today. I thought you were in the
southwest
side.
No, southwest suburbs.
Okay. So
outside the city.
Could you say the neighborhood or no?
Romeoville, Bolingbrook.
See, I played grade school football, right? And we played Bolingbrook. Bolingbrook was a big rival, I think, of Lombard.
I have no idea.
Exactly. Where is this place? Like, so if I was going, I'd take the...
If
I would
you take
go southwest.
The Stevenson, I-55 south.
Okay. How long of a drive? Could I get there by Metra? I mean, how the hell do you get there? How long did it take you to get there from? Because we're 3 miles from the loop.
Right.
So everyone knows where that is. So how do you run on the highway, and how long did it take?
About a half hour.
That's it.
There was no traffic.
Okay. Because, okay, where we grew up was like, what, a mile outside the city?
Mm-hmm.
And you were, how many miles do you think? 30, 20, 10?
Probably about 15 to 20 miles.
Okay. I've never, and I could honestly tell you, I've never been to Bolingbrook.
Well.
Knowingly.
Yeah. It's been in the news recently because of Drew Peterson.
That's where Drew Peterson is. Did you go to the murder house? How was the murder
Actually,
house?
Actually, somebody did walk there.
Yeah?
I guess he's not in favor of our candidate.
Really?
Even though you think he would be because he's pro-gun.
Okay, so your candidate's pro-gun. That's good. Is he pro-tub? That was not funny. I apologize. Okay. So you started working in politics almost right out of college, right?
Right. Right out of college.
Right out of college. You went to Purdue for political science, correct?
Yes.
And you just started law school, what, like a year ago, is it now?
In January.
January. So for 3 years, is that right? 3 years you've been working in politics?
Yeah, just over 3 years.
When you went in, what did you think it would be like?
Well, fresh out of college, I was completely idealistic.
Really?
I thought that I wanted to make policy decisions.
Okay.
I wanted to be right there where we're deciding, you know, how much money should be spent where.
Okay.
What laws to make, what, you know. It's, to me, politics boils down to it's really nuts and bolts. It's
okay.
Like, what can you do for me?
Okay.
And people want to see results. And whether that's getting them a new garbage can, getting a tree trim.
These are important issues.
Yeah, for that will get a vote for somebody.
Okay.
And as much as it, like, it is, you know, fun and intellectually stimulating to talk about, you know, the hot abortion, constitutional issues.
Mm-hmm. You mean cultural issues, pretty
right.
much.
But it comes down to, when is this pothole going to get fixed on my street?
Yeah. Well, okay, you're talking about state government here, though. And you're talking about state and city government.
State, city.
Okay. Would you have any desire to work on the national level? Would you want to work for an Illinois senator?
I'd like to try it, but I think that's a completely different ballgame.
Okay, well...
Because that's mostly... people get to know the candidate through maybe the television.
Yeah.
Or through
One Chance radio Encounter, maybe. If that.
Yeah, shaking his hand for a second, saying hello. Whereas a local candidate or a local politician, which I think has a lot more influence and does a lot more.
So in a way you think...
You will actually know this person lives in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You'll see him out somewhere.
Now that you've worked for this in politics for 3 years, do you want to have this as your career? Because you're in law school right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really. Do you know exactly what you want to do when you're done, or no? When you're done with school,
right? I'd like to be a practicing attorney, but
okay.
I want to be involved in politics, especially local politics.
Okay, a practicing attorney could be anything. You could be a consultant and be a practicing attorney.
I kind of want to be just a general practitioner.
Okay,
somebody that comes to me with a legal issue. And I know how to solve it.
So you want to work in the private sector?
Well,
as an attorney, and you want to still work in the public sector is in law or in politics somehow.
Yeah.
How are you planning on marrying the two? Is it possible to marry the two?
Oh yeah.
How?
Because the people that you're in the private sector, if I started working in my own practice or a local law firm, just very small, you actually get to meet people.
Okay.
Talk to them, help them with their problems, and, you know, that can go a long way politically.
Okay. So you'd want to have a position in politics similar to what you're kind of working with now. Like, you wouldn't want to run for the U.S. House, but you might want to run for the Illinois House, that kind of thing.
Illinois House, I don't even know if I would go that high. I would say just maybe local city, like...
When you say not, city, not, what city, though?
City of Chicago would be great.
Yeah, I think alderman might have more power than
definitely.
A House member in the Illinois Senate.
Definitely. But I don't know, right now it's it's hard to say where I'll be in a few years.
True, true. Well, do you plan on staying in Chicago or the area?
Because
you're going...
At least until... Well, I mean, it all depends, you know. To be perfectly honest, if one candidate wins this presidential election, there could be a job opportunity for me.
Really? Okay.
And that would change a lot, you know.
When you say there'd be a job opportunity, you mean you might have to go to D.C.
I would have to move to Washington.
Got it. All right. Well, that's fun and exciting. Those are exciting times for you.
Yeah, it's fun to think about, but I'm not really going to get all hippity-jippity.
That's a great word from the lexicon. I don't even know if those are words. Anyways, why are you in law school? I mean, you said you want to be a practicing attorney. Why do you want to be an attorney?
It's just something about the law is very, very basic to every person, whether they know it or not, are affected by laws. And it governs our actions and how we conduct ourselves in society. And every transaction, how wide the sidewalk is, mm-hmm. what color the license plate on your car is.
Okay.
It's endless if you.
But you're kind of describing it the same way you could describe, like, say, going into farming, or like it's like, well, if you really think about it, food is this, this, and this. Like, that's kind of how you're describing law. But what about it? I mean, yes, it's all encompassing and it affects everyone. But so do clothing. But you don't want to be a fashion designer. See what I mean? What about law?
Law about it's a human thing, and okay. It's able to be modified by the people in it.
So, because it's changing, it's always changing. It's always in a state of flux. You like that?
I like that. Yeah, it's malleable. That you can, the people that are involved, the people in politics, are shaping the way we live.
Okay.
And I want to be a part of that.
Okay, so you want to have a hand in that. When did you realize that you wanted to be involved like this?
I don't know. Tell you the truth, when it changed my freshman year of college, I would have to say. I went to Purdue. I thought I wanted to be a doctor.
Did you really?
I was a health science major.
I had no idea.
I took biology and chemistry, and I realized my second semester that it's probably not for me. It was a little too difficult.
Difficult because it was just actually too hard? You just didn't care after a certain point?
Just the amount of actually, it wasn't too hard freshman year because it was more of just a recap of what you've learned in high school, at least because we went to a pretty good high school.
Yeah, Mike and I went to a high school in the western suburbs. It's Fenwick. It's between the last stop on the green line and the last stop on the blue line. So it's just west of the city. And I wanted to ask you this. I kind of felt that our science program wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why. There were some teachers there that I thought were great, but I know this is going to sound really cynical, but I think if we didn't have to have religion all 4 years, and that time was broken into, and instead of having an extra class, every single class was longer by 10 minutes, maybe. I think we would have learned a lot more.
Maybe.
Just a thought. Because all I did in religion was write notes to my girlfriend at the time, think of band names to have, write song lyrics, and just generally fuck around. I mean, once you learn the basic facets of Christianity, you can kind of coast.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard.
I think that's why I was a women's studies major in college, man. Once you figure out, if you say I believe in equal rights, and you actually do believe in equal rights, then that's all you have to say, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, theology was a breeze for me in high school.
Yes,
I'd already went to some Catholic school. It's like, how much?
And you were raised Catholic too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much can you? How much more can you learn about the Ten Commandments? I don't know. It's. It was an act in futility.
And that's why I didn't enjoy science in high school at all. And now I find myself, I work outside and I have headphones on probably like 90% of the day. I just listen to science podcasts and like NPR, and that's it. Not because I'm anti-music, it's just because this is the only thing that's somewhat stimulating to me because I don't understand it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely at high school, I thought it was the teachers that made the class.
Who
not,
did you?
Not the courses.
We should not talk about high school teachers. That's fucking stupid. I apologize. Yeah. Let's go back to you. Freshman year, college, you switched.
I took my second semester. I took Political Science 120, Introduction to Public Policy.
Okay.
And that kind of just that one taste of it pretty much changed everything. And I switched my major and became a political science major and minored in English and philosophy. And
so we have very similar backgrounds in this.
Liberal arts.
Liberal arts, pointless shit unless you go to grad or like another school, essentially. Right. No, Mike was, so like you said, you were a poli-sci major, English and philosophy minor. I was an English major and then poli-sci and women's studies minor. Mm-hmm. Pointless.
Yeah.
Pointless. I can't even like, there's nothing good with that at all.
I also minored in Spanish.
See, that's helpful, especially living in Chicago, especially living in this neighborhood. You could learn from that.
Yeah. I mean, I've become a little bit rusty, but when I was in college, I was, you know.
How fluent were you? Like, could you watch Telemundo and understand everything?
Yeah. Nice. I had to finish my minor. I had to take a 400-level Spanish class.
Okay.
And I took business in Spanish-speaking countries. It was
really?
So I thought it was like you learn about different business practices in different countries. I thought it would be more of like somewhat political. You learn about different countries.
Okay.
But it was actually like a business class.
Really?
In Spanish. And there were maybe one other non-native speaker in my class, and everybody else was from Colombia, Peru.
Do you remember what your grade was?
I think I got a B.
Nice. So you were able to, like, you can understand everything, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It was, some people had difficult accents, okay, especially from Puerto Rico. I found the most hard to understand.
Why?
The way they speak.
Do they drop a letter? Is it a hard X? Not hard X. Like a hard something? Hard consonants?
It almost sounds like they have a lisp. I know it sounds really general to talk about a whole country, but just
well, the
like
country's language.
The accent. You can understand, but the way they pronounce things, it sounds like they have a lisp almost.
Versus what? Versus Mexican?
Mexican, yeah.
That's essentially like the Spanish
that's the
we
most,
know.
Yeah, that's the most in contact I have is Mexican.
Okay.
Which
it makes complete sense of where we live.
I mean, I did study Spanish poetry and all literature.
Did you really?
Yeah. Which is, you know, I would speak to people that, you know, speak fluent Spanish.
Yeah.
And like, what the hell are you talking about? You don't say things like that. It's like how, you know, authors and I don't know. It was completely different.
Was that the only business class you took in college?
Yes.
You know, I've never taken a business class. What is a business? What do they teach you?
You have to. It's just developing business strategy.
Okay, give me an example of a business strategy.
Okay, say we were given a business, like we were selling furniture.
Okay.
And they would put us in a specific country, and you would have to learn how to market. You would have to come up with an entire business plan. First, you would have the product.
Okay.
You would have to learn who you're trying to sell it to.
Okay.
You would have to learn the proper marketing scheme you want to put out there and try and sell it to people. The other aspect, the big trying to combine it to, is production of the actual goods that you're selling.
Okay.
And to combine it with the marketing and see it all. And then you would have to see like how much you're selling week to week, day to day, month to month. You'd break it down, and then that would affect your production value.
But this kind of seems like common sense.
Yeah.
What you're saying. It's like, well, if I have coffee cups, I'm going to try to find the market that drinks the most coffee.
Right.
And so, once again, did you
this class, I mean,
did you learn anything? Is what I'm saying.
I got better at Spanish.
There you go. That's what I thought. It just seemed like it's one of those majors where it's like when you're a commerce major. It's just saying I want to be rich.
Yeah.
And now I'm really jealous that I was not a commerce major. You're very fidgety right now. Do you have to use the restroom?
No.
All right, good.
Sorry.
No, it's completely fine. It's kind of funny that you started in politics after you started college because you kind of have politics in the family, kind of, right? Because
my dad has been very politically involved since I've known him.
Okay, well, since you've known him, since you popped out, hey. So what was his involvement in government?
Well, he's an attorney.
Okay.
And he was a prosecutor for about 20 years.
So he was the guy that was like, I'm going to do the right thing, or is he the guy making all the money?
I don't think he had it in mind that he was eventually going to run for political office.
Okay.
But I don't know. It just, I think it came natural to him for whatever reason.
Well, he's got a law degree, but he went into an area of law where you really don't make much money. Is that right?
That's right.
Comparatively to what he could have been doing.
Right.
So to me, that kind of makes sense. He's like, well, he's into public service. He's into stuff like that. It mm-hmm. makes to me, that makes a lot more sense than somebody that's like, I don't know, making like $3 million a year as right. a lawyer. So, okay. But how old were you when he first ran for something? I don't know what he ran for.
He only ran, he ran for a judge, circuit court judge.
Okay.
And I had to be about 13 years old.
So you were in junior
12.
High, something like that? So yeah. Before high school, obviously. What did he ever tell you about it? I mean, the process behind it or what?
To tell you the truth, I was still too young to even comprehend what was going on.
Yeah.
We still have buttons, stickers. You know, I can look online on the state election board and check his campaign fund, how much money he had at the
did
time.
Did you? Could you yeah. really? Compared to, this was like 12 years ago.
I think it was 92.
All right, so it's a little bit more than 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Was he making a lot of money? Was he raising a lot of money? Or like, because comparatively...
No. No, he wasn't.
The guy now, you can't check. You could check up to like 04 mm-hmm. Circuit court judges. Are they making bank now?
Judges make good money.
Yeah, they make more money, but I mean like in terms of like campaigning money.
No, he didn't have a lot of money.
Is it easier? Is it harder?
I don't think... From what he told me, he didn't get the endorsement of the party.
Oh, so he was essentially an independent.
He was listed as a Democrat.
Okay.
And he was running against another Democrat in the primary.
Oh.
And the other guy, I guess, got the backing of the, you know, whoever.
We've never talked about this, but is your dad a Republican, a Democrat, or is he an independent?
The thing about it is he's been involved in politics for a very long time, but he doesn't really discuss his views. He keeps it private.
So how could he be involved? I mean,
I think
like,
he's conservative.
He's fiscally conservative or, like, socially conservative. There's a huge difference, my friend.
I think
he's
more
like,
fiscally...
Don't spend, or is he like, fuck the gays? Which one is he, Mike?
No, he's not socially conservative.
Okay. So he's essentially like a pre Jimmy Carter Republican when there was no God in politics. So he's an actually like fiscal conservative.
Yeah, I don't like to put those kind of labels on him, but he's just more. I think he just thinks that somebody's private,
really?
How they vote.
Yeah,
that's not to be discussed.
So really, what about your mom? Does your mom talk about this at all?
My mom. Is I would consider her very liberal.
Okay. In terms of what, though, once again? Spending or social?
Social.
Okay. But what about spending-wise?
Spending-wise, too. She's a public school teacher.
Yes.
And has been for a very long time.
Okay.
So she's
she's more than likely...
She's in favor of public spending, but as long as it's spent correctly.
Okay.
But,
Did she ever talk about politics with you guys?
She's a lot more open about it.
Okay. What does your dad think about that? Or does he say anything?
He doesn't see, like, he asked me actually a few weeks ago. It's like, so I'm still undecided who I'm going to vote for president. And he was like, would it help you out any if I voted one way or the other? I'm like, well, yeah, if you voted for this guy, I might get a job if he wins. He's like, all right, there we go.
Well, see, that makes sense to me. That's helping out family.
Yeah.
But we're in a state where no matter what, it doesn't really matter who you vote for.
Right.
We are in Illinois, for those that don't know where Chicago is, because they're fucking retarded. So you had a mother that is more left-leaning, a father who's more right-leaning in terms of politics and stuff, but they never talked about it even though your father ran. Do you find that weird or do you find that good? Do you wish all families were like that?
I think it's what my dad does, just keeping his vote to himself, that's something that I would like to try to do
because
more.
But you and I have very rarely talked about... Well, I'm very open with like everyone that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff, but you never say who you're voting for,
right? I don't. That's kind of just what I've taken from my dad.
Is it the old adage where you don't talk about politics or God? kind of thing where it's don't mix.
Or just something very personal to somebody who they vote for.
Okay.
And
do you find
you
it
don't
weird?
Feel you don't like to justify it to someone who you vote for. I think that's what it all comes down to.
Like, you feel like you shouldn't have to?
Right.
Why?
Because it's your basic freedom to do this.
Okay.
To vote for people who represent you.
And as somebody who works in politics, can you watch, say, the debates, any of the debates, or watch a political show with anyone else? Because I find, okay, I was bartending the night of the second presidential debate. There was three people in the bar. And after about 5 minutes watching the debate with them, I could not sit there anymore because either what they said was ill-informed or was a really bad joke. And it was just really frustrating, and they didn't know their shit. You know what I mean?
Right. From watching part of the debates with my girlfriend, who has very different views. Well, not very different, but, you know.
She's very open with who she supports.
She's very open about what she believes in.
Okay.
To why, like, she'll pause the TV and like, look, this is where this guy is wrong. And if somebody...
So she's like, because you guys got TiVo or whatever. Yeah. So you like are instant fact-checking each other?
That's what she's doing. And then it comes down to like an argument on the couch. And it's like, I don't want to do this, you know? I don't want to argue about that. I just want to kind of see where this is going.
Yeah.
But that's why I didn't even want to watch the debates. But when I came home, it was already on.
You kind of have to, man. You have to. Because, I mean, you work in it. Everyone's going to be talking on tomorrow. You got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, so what we've learned about your life is you didn't think you were going to go into politics, and now you're in politics working for him. You're gonna be the lawyer, inevitably. You're in John Marshall. How is that, by the way?
It's very difficult.
Very difficult? Why is it very difficult? It's very difficult because of the work. It's very difficult because you have a full-time job. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult for those reasons, having a full-time job and going to school.
Yeah.
But besides that, just... the basic understanding of trying to learn these rules. It's almost like learning a different language.
And really?
Learning.
Is it a boring language? It sounds really boring when I talk to you about it.
Sometimes.
The language itself sounds very boring when I talk to
is.
You about it.
It is. But from my classes, they're very basic. You learn how things started. You go back to England.
Yeah.
And learn how laws were created and used there, and then when they came to America, and how laws changed, why they changed.
Yeah.
And it's like a history lesson almost, and then it brings you up to speed to date how courts are ruling on certain issues.
That sounds very boring to me. I am sorry. I just, it doesn't interest me. I mean, like, I like the end result, I should say. You know what I mean? I think like Court TV and the OJ case spoiled it, because now I have no desire to learn about the intricacies of law whatsoever.
Well, it's just how we came to this point, why the laws are the way they are.
Yeah. And I know it's very important, and I wish I loved it. I don't.
I find it interesting.
It's a stimulating thing to do. Okay, so I'm going to go. I forgot something. I'm going to pause this thing and then get the one thing, and then we'll close it out with a question, okay?
Okay.
Pause. All right, we're back. Okay, so you need to give me a number between 1 and 260.
88.
So this is from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. Mike, pick number 88. And Mike, this is your last question of the evening. If this Saturday you could do absolutely anything you wanted, what would you do?
I would have to get better, but this is something I would like to do eventually, is become a professional skier. And I would go in a helicopter and they'd drop me off at the top of a mountain and I'd ski down. That'd be awesome.
So that was your perfect Saturday?
That would be.
It's not a bad Saturday.
Or, you know, just getting a new pair of socks would be.
You really like the basics. You like socks and pillows. So if Mike has an Amazon wish list, get him a pillow and a sock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That sounded awfully sexy. Okay. Thanks for joining me. You're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. We're going to close it out with Daniel Knox. Thanks. ¶¶
You've got to be